Hello, one and all. It's David here. It's a sun-drenched July evening in London. I'm appropriately enough out on the sun deck, and I think in these circumstances it's appropriate to say a few words about London squares. And let's get the cornerstone affixed and in place. Look, the square is to London what canals are to Venice. The square is London's principal contribution to the urban experiment. Now, when no one knows for sure how many squares there are, I usually cite the figure of over 700. But that's an educated guess. William Kent, in his Encyclopedia of London, written 85 years ago, counted them. He said there were 437. Well, it's entirely possible that in the 75 years since that book was published, there's another couple of hundred squares been added to the total. We know how they got started, the genesis. The first London square pitches up in the early 1630s. You all know it. It's the Covent Garden Piazza. It, along with the buildings there, was the handiwork of a famous architect, Inigo Jones. Jones had been to Italy, was very influenced by what he found there, by the Italian style. And it's said that in the Covent Garden Piazza, Inigo Jones brought Italy to England. But it wasn't called a square, it was called, and it still is, a piazza. The next one to come along is about a decade later, 1640. That's Lincoln's Inn Fields. And again, that's its name. It wasn't called a square. The first one to be called a square is Bloomsbury Square. That comes in the 1660s. That's really the beginning of London's first modern suburb, Bloomsbury. London's first suburb is Southwark, which was founded by the Romans. It was as old as London itself. We think that it was originally a Roman army encampment on the south side of the bridge, what to the Romans was the first London Bridge. So the first modern suburb is Bloomsbury Square, coming in the 1660s. Then in that same decade, you get St. James's Square. That is the square that's really the beginning of the West End of London, if you will. Then in the 1670s, you get Leicester Square and Soho Square. Then in 1681, Kensington Square. Important to remember, though, that when Kensington Square was laid out, and for probably 170 years afterward, it would not have been remotely thought of as a London square. London, the city of London, was about 5 miles east of Kensington. There was a Latin phrase that was used to describe what Kensington Square was, urb in rus. Urb, you can hear the word urban or urbane, rus, Latin for rural. A square, by definition, really, is a piece of town planning, but in the case of Kensington Square, it was a piece of town planning that was plopped down into the middle of the countryside. And the old maps, that 1754 map, for example, attest to that. Kensington Square would not have been absorbed into Greater London for about 170 years afterwards. Only the coming of the railway in the middle of the 19th century that gets London reaching out and eventually engulfing, swallowing up Kensington Square. But anyway, now there are, well, I usually say, over 700 squares in London. And as I said, it's the square is the principal contribution made by London to the urban experiment. London, a lot of people would say, and I certainly would agree with this, is the most livable major city on the planet. And one of the reasons it is that is the green. You obviously have those magnificent royal parks in the middle. Further out, you've got the seriously big expanses of green. Richmond Park, for example, that's the largest park in London. Hampstead Heath. Hampstead Heath, something like 880 acres. It's 10% bigger than Central Park in Manhattan. And yet it's only 2% of the total of London's public green. So yeah, the Royal Parks, the big expanses of green, but also, of course, all those squares, those oases of green, they all play an important role in making this what it is, the most livable major city on the planet. The squares fall into two categories. Something over 50 of them are called key squares. I had the great privilege, really, of living in a key square for 2 years back in the 1970s. Gloucester Square, beautiful old square, very near Marble Arch. And a key square, what that means is the only people who have access to the square are the people who live on the square. They have the key to it. It worked a dream. Everybody who lived on the square made a contribution, it wasn't very much money, a small amount of money, but collectively this amounted to a salary, and that paid for the gardener. And that gave you the key to the square. I found that most of the people on the square, they never used it, really. We were just about the only ones who used it. So this beautiful oasis of green, you know, so central. And it was kind of all ours, so to speak. We didn't even have to do any of the gardening. Absolutely delightful, but of course, really a privilege. Great for us, but it really wasn't so great for everybody else. Now, examples of key squares. Well, the aforementioned Kensington Square, that's a key square. Belgrave Square is a key square. Bedford Square in Bloomsbury is a key square. That is said to be the most beautiful of all of London's squares. Happily, though, there are a lot of squares that are not key squares. The public have access to them. Examples, well, obviously, Trafalgar Square, but also Russell Square, Soho Square, Leicester Square, list goes on, the Gordon Square. List goes on and on. But yeah, the squares. The square is to London what canals are to Venice. So we're just very lucky. We're blessed to have them. Okay, on that note, it's dinner time. All the best. Bye.